I'm going to be reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, in the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, also in John chapter 7, verse 37, 38, 39. These may be familiar verses to you. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, what a beautiful verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Wow. A treasure. A heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel. And then John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Amen. But the "not yet" has come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. And now we have the river. Hallelujah. Anybody got a river tonight? Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I'll get to my topic here in a minute. World War I, there was a British liaison that was appointed or sent to the Arab revolt and kept the Turkish army so busy that they couldn't get involved in the conflict in other places. His name was T.E. Lawrence. He wrote a book called The Seven Pillars of Wisdom, and he was a master in the art of classic guerrilla warfare. He became quite famous in that era of time. As a matter of fact, Hollywood made a movie of his life called Lawrence of Arabia. After World War I, he invited some sheiks, Arabian sheiks, to his place in London, and they came and he showed them around the city, and they went to the Parliament and the House of Commons and actually had an audience with the Queen. And after their visit, he asked them a question. He said, I want to give you gentlemen a gift. He said, "Of everything that you've seen here in London, what would you like to take back with you to Arabia?" And they said, they didn't know what to say, so they didn't know what to call it. So they said, "Well, come up to our room." So then the nice hotel, they went up to the room and they took him in the bathroom, and they pointed to the bathroom faucet in the bathtub. And they said, "We want one of those things just like that to take back to the desert so we can have water in our houses." And he had to tell them quickly that the magic is not in the faucet. That the magic is not in the faucet. Amen. But that's what they wanted. They thought that if they could just get some of those faucets and carry them to the desert, they'd have it made out there. But it just didn't work that way. Amen. So that's my subject tonight. I want to talk to you about the magic is not in the faucet. Amen. Now, I don't mean to say that faucets are not important. They're very important. Everybody, you need something to transfer the water from the source. And it's awfully nice to have faucets in your house. I don't know if anybody here ever lived where they had running water, where you had to run and get it. Grab a bucket and run, get all the water you could get. That was the only kind of running water. My wife grew up in a place where they had that kind of running water. Amen. And so that was the running water of the past. But I like the running water that we have now. It's wonderful just to go in and just turn on a faucet. And cool, refreshing water comes out to drink, or hot water comes out for a shower. And boy, that's nice, isn't it? Thank God for faucets. Faucets are important. You're important. God always uses human vessels. As a matter of fact, there was a place in Isaiah when the Lord wanted to withhold judgment, but He said, I couldn't, because I couldn't find an intercessor. I didn't want to. I didn't want to send judgment, but I couldn't find a vessel that was willing to represent me. So He had to send the judgment that He wanted to withhold. Vessels are important. Every miracle in the Bible, God found somebody that He could use. Amen. You don't have to be perfect to be used of God. That doesn't mean God approves of you. One preacher said, I didn't really become successful as a minister until I realized that God didn't need me to be great. God doesn't expect me to be great. All He needs is for me to be available. Of all the abilities that a human being has, the most important is availability. Can God count on you, and can God count on me? When you look back at the Bible, God used a lot of imperfect people, didn't He? Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Amos' only training as a prophet was in the school of fig tree pruning. And Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Miriam was a gossip. Jonah ran from God. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. No, he wasn't. He was a prophet. But he was depressed, and he was suicidal. Amen. Elijah was burned out. Martha was a worrywart. Mary might have been lazy. Samson had long hair. Noah got drunk. Moses had a short fuse. Amen. So you see, God doesn't just look for perfect people. And that's the good bunch. That's the ones we know the best. So if God used those, and we called those, and their names are in the Heroes Hall of Fame. So if God put them in the Hero Hall of Fame, there's hope for you that at least you can get on the roll. Amen. God's not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for some available people. He's listening for somebody that will pray a simple prayer such as, here am I, Lord, send me. Hey, God will take you up on it. God will take you up on it. I was here in Athens, Texas in 1977, I suppose it was. And over on South 19, my uncle and I were preparing a two-story house to paint. And I was up there scraping paint on a hot summer day. And I was praying. And I said, Lord, I want to really work for You. And I prayed, I don't know why I prayed this. Be careful. I said, God, just send me somewhere that nobody wants to go. And He did. He said, I know just the place. But you know what? He went with us. Praise God. Amen. And you know what? We had revival. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest revivals that I've ever been involved in. Amen. Oh, because of a simple prayer. God's just looking for somebody that'll say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." And if we'll pray that kind of prayer, God will take us up on it. Amen. And He will do great and wonderful things. God needs vessels. God needs vessels. You remember there was a woman that was in dire straits. Her husband had passed away, and her two sons, she had two boys, and they were almost getting ready to have to put them in slavery to pay the bills. She had nothing. Her creditors were at the door, and she sent to the prophet, and she was telling him her story of woe. And the prophet said, "Let me tell you what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to go get vessels." He said, "Now don't you get just a few." He said, "You fill this house up with vessels. You get pots and pans. And you get everything you can get your hands on." And so she did that. She went and she sent her boys out, and they gathered a bunch of vessels around. And then he said, "I want you to get that little bit of oil you've got." And he said, "I want you to walk over and I want you to start pouring it." And she did. She said, "This won't take long." So she poured that oil, and guess what? It kept pouring. It wasn't in the bottle, folks. There was nothing attached. But she kept pouring, and it filled up. And she moved over to the next one, and it filled up. And she saw what was happening. She said, "Boys, go get some more vessels." And they ran out and started collecting stuff and begging stuff and borrowing stuff, and she kept pouring. Amen. And the Bible says the oil kept pouring until there was not another vessel. And when there were no more vessels, the oil stayed. It stopped. But as long as there was a vessel, it was pouring. Hallelujah. You know how to have a greater revival? We need more vessels. Amen. We need more vessels. Amen. You know how to get folks to get the Holy Ghost here in this sanctuary? Get some people here that need the Holy Ghost. You know how to have more people baptized in Jesus' name? Get some folks here that need to be baptized in Jesus' name. When we have some vessels, God has something to fill. God has something to bless. God has something to use. Amen. So God uses vessels. The vessels are vastly important in the kingdom of God. Amen. But the vessel is not the source. And the magic is not in the faucet. The faucet can be 24 karat gold. It can be bejeweled and beautiful. But that doesn't mean anything. What's important is it connected to a source? Amen. If it's connected, that's what really matters. There's nothing more disappointing than to be real thirsty and turn on the faucet and nothing happens. It's disappointing to get all ready and step in the shower and turn on the water and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Amen. It's a disappointment, because that faucet, we have learned that faucet represents a promise. If there's a faucet there, it's telling me that there's some water at that source. And I'm disappointed when it doesn't work. When I plug something in, I'm disappointed if it doesn't work. When I turn on a key, I'm disappointed if something doesn't start. Because all of those represent that somewhere there's a source that is supposed to be supplying that particular vessel. And I'm really disappointed when it doesn't work. Amen. I don't want to be a disappointment to the Lord. Do you remember when Jesus was walking with His disciples and they walked by this fig tree? And when they got there, it was full of blooms. And it was not the time of figs. It wasn't supposed to have fruit on it. But it was advertising that it did have fruit on it. And Jesus cursed it. Because it was advertising that I've got fruit and it didn't have any. So he was just letting us know that he doesn't want us false advertising. Let's don't talk like we're Pentecostal and not be Pentecostal. When people come in those doors, they expect, rightly so, to have a Pentecostal service. Hello? They deserve Pentecostal worship. They deserve Pentecostal prayer. They deserve Pentecostal singing. They deserve Pentecostal preaching. Because that's what we're advertising. Amen. They deserve holiness. Amen. They deserve righteousness. Because all of those things are associated with us. Amen. So we don't want God to curse us. Because we're advertising something. But we're not connected to the source. Oh, I don't ever want to lose the source, folks. Amen. Amen. I want to stay connected. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I was born in the fire and the smoke just won't do. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're born in the fire, you know what the fire is all about. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, it's essential that we be connected to the source. Jesus said this in John chapter 14 and verse number 10. He said, Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Amen. He said, I speak it and I say it, but he does it. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 to his disciples. He said, Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Bible says, and they went. Hallelujah. And they preached everywhere the word of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible said, and God confirmed the word with signs following. They were vessels. They were a faucet. But God was the source. We must be careful that we preach the word of God. Because that's what God can honor. God doesn't honor foolishness, but He will honor faith. I knew a young man one time that by faith went down to the auto dealership and ordered a brand new car just like he wanted it. By faith, he said. Well, it came in, and he went in. But his ship didn't come in. He didn't have the source. The difference in faith and foolishness is you don't have the source. He made a proclamation with his mouth that he wasn't connected to a source to fulfill what he said. He was believing that God was going to give him that money because somebody had preached that God will give you the desires of your heart. But they left off the first part of it. You ever heard the first part of that? It said, Delight yourself also in the Lord. That's everything's founded on that. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, amen. You're not going to want a car unless He wants you to have a car. You're going to have some good sense. You're not going to be filled with greed. You're going to want the right things. Amen. Matter of fact, you're going to be just pretty happy with whatever God sends along. Because your delight is in the Lord, not in stuff. But some people seem to get the idea that I learned how to use God to get stuff. That's foolish. Amen. I've heard preachers say, well, we're going to build this big church by faith. And then lost it because they couldn't pay for it. Amen. It wasn't faith that they would have paid for it. Amen. You got to be careful, folks. Amen. And make sure that you're connected to the source and that your motive is right. Amen. I just want to do the will of God. I just want to do what He wants me to do. It's not about myself and my ego and what people think about me or what others are doing. But I've got to be connected to the source so that I am doing what pleases the Lord. Amen. And so the Scripture said, Jesus said, He said, it's the Father that's doing the work. I'm connected. Hallelujah. He said, the words I speak, those are His words. The works that I do, those are His works. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all about Him. I'm connected to a source. I'm just a faucet. And the magic is not in the faucet. Amen. That's what He was saying. We read a moment ago in the book of John, chapter number 7, in verse number 38, when Jesus stood up on the great day of the feast. Amen. And He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake He of the Spirit. That's the source. Amen. It is in us. Amen. But we are not the source. We're the vessel. Hallelujah. And the purpose, He said, it's to be springing up unto everlasting life. Amen. God uses the faucet, but He must be the source. Amen. Hallelujah. That's it, folks. That's what's essential. Amen. The apostles understood that, didn't they? The Bible said, and I love this, how it states it. The Bible said they were on their way to prayer meeting when one of the greatest miracles occurred. That means they must have been prayed up on the way to prayer meeting. Amen. They weren't just barely getting through the door. They were prayed up on the way. Hallelujah. They were connected to the source before they ever got to the prayer meeting. Amen. Hey, before your car ever pulls out of the driveway, you need to be connected to the source. While you're on your way down the highway, you need to be connected to the source. You need to be singing and praising. Amen. And worshiping. Is that all right? Amen. I'm telling you, folks, hey, when you're connected to the source, it's always there. Amen. And that's what, now what they call, what do they call that there? They call that a potential energy. Amen. It's stored energy. It's there. There's some potential energy over in these light sockets over here. Amen. If you stick something there, you'll find out. It don't look like there's anything there to me. Well, it's there. Amen. Sister Vicki paid the electric bill. I promise you it's there. Amen. I can see the signs of it up here, that it's there. Amen. You may not see it, but it's there. And it's just waiting for something to be plugged in. It said it's here, whatever you need. It's right here. Amen. God's just waiting for some of us to get plugged in. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever you need, He's just waiting. He's the source. He's the supply. And He's saying, just plug me in here, bud. Try me out. See if I am what I say I am. See if I'll do what I say I will do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is the source, John. Peter, on the way down to the temple, the hour of prayer, the Bible said they walked by this fella, and he was sitting there, and he was blind. One guy preached the whole sermon on that, the blind man at the gate, beautiful. And when he got right down, he said, that man wasn't blind, he was lame. We make mistakes like that sometimes. So he was preaching about the blind man, and he was a lame man. So they come down, and here's the lame man that has, and I'm going to do it now after telling that story. So they come, and this a man that is lame is laying there at the beautiful gate. The reason is at the beautiful gate because it was a tourist attraction, and a lot of people went there. Amen. So here he is, he's lying at the beautiful gate. Amen. And so Peter and John walk by, and he's got his cup, and he's saying, alms, money. Amen. Can you spare a dime? Amen. And he's got his cup out, and they stop. And they checked it. I think they felt, man, I'm plugged into a switcher. There goes something stirring on the inside. Amen. And they stopped about that time. And if it starts moving on you, friend, that's when you start moving. If the Lord directs you to do something, it's time to do it. If He directs you to say something, it's time to say it. If He directs you to call somebody, call them. If He directs you to go see somebody, go see them. And they felt it right then. Now I'm sure that wasn't the only lame man in Jerusalem. But they said, oh, something's here. I feel the source. And so they stopped. And Peter looked down and he said, look on us. Amen. You don't ask people to look on you unless you got something. Amen. If you don't have the goods, you're going to try to hide it. They weren't interested in hiding it because they knew they were connected to the source. So he said, look on us. Then he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm connected to a source. Such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reached down and he grabbed him by the hand and he pulled him up on his feet. And the Bible said that he went leaping and praising God into the temple. I mean to tell you, friend, they were connected to something. Amen. Hallelujah. They had a source. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. In other words, I got the want to. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want to be good, but I keep messing up. Amen. Praise God. That was BC. Amen. I want to. I got the want to, but I don't have the how to. Amen. But when he got connected to the source, amen, hallelujah, and the Holy Ghost came in, it changed everything. Hallelujah. And later on he wrote and he said, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. He found the source. It's important tonight, folks, that we understand that it's not in this vessel. We got to understand that. Somebody said, praise is like cologne. It's okay to dab a little on the outside, just don't try to drink it in. We are not made. You look at Hollywood and the sports arena and all of that. You know what causes those people to get so weird? Worship. And human beings are not made for worship. And we can't handle worship. When people start worshiping us and we start believing that, we'll get warped. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be the finest preacher, but you'll get to drinking that stuff. When people start saying good things about you, you've got to remind yourself, for in me there dwelleth no good thing in my flesh. Amen. It's just not in me. Amen. But there is something on the inside, and that's the source. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. It's the power of Jesus Christ. That's what any good thing that's in us, that's where it comes from. Amen. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Amen. I love that verse we just read. But we have this treasure. Oh, if we could just remember that this earthen vessel is not the treasure. But we have a treasure in the earthen vessel. But some people think this is the treasure. Now, let me just do a little pastoring here for just a minute, okay? We have to be careful with children and young people, lest they get the idea that they're the treasure. We're living in a time when we've heard so much about self-esteem. We've got to build their self-esteem. Amen. Well, you'll do that by loving them. Amen. Just loving them. And correcting them and giving them discipline when they need it. Amen. But you can't do that by praising them for every little thing they do. Amen. And until they get to thinking, I'm the treasure. Well, you're not the treasure. Amen. Praise God. And I don't want my child to grow up thinking that this is the treasure. This is not the treasure. The treasure is in the earthen vessel. The earthen vessel is just made out of mud. God can make mud look pretty good sometimes. And some of it's kind of lumpy. But nonetheless, that's our fault, I suppose. Amen. But God knows how to take a treasure and He puts it in an earthen vessel. You know, there's a little lesson that we learned here. Anybody ever seen the Hope Diamond? I saw the Hope Diamond in Washington, D.C. If you go into the Smithsonian, where there are gems and minerals, and you go to the most crowded room in there, you'll see the Hope Diamond. Because that's what everybody wants to see. And when you get there, what you're not going to notice very much is the box it's in. People don't stand there and say, "Woo! Look at that beautiful box. Man, I wonder how they did that." Most people don't stand back and say, "Look at those lights. Isn't that marvelous?" Most people don't say, "Woo! Look at that beautiful velvet. Isn't that the most beautiful velvet you've ever seen in your whole life?" Oh, no, no, no. They don't talk about the box. They don't talk about the velvet. They don't talk about the light. All those things are important. The reason it's lying on that dark velvet is because they don't want to take any attention away from the diamond. And the reason that it's in a box is because if it wasn't, somebody would steal it. Because it has value. Hallelujah. And the reason that it has light on it is to reveal its inner beauty. That light is positioned and it rotates at just a perfect angle so that it shoots off beautiful, sparkling, glittering, radiant colors and reveals, as it were, its soul. But it's not the display, it's the diamond that people go to see. And here's the thing, folks. Honestly, people shouldn't come to church to hear us. But it ought to be about Jesus. And when we sing, people shouldn't just who and ah about our great talent. Yes, we need to do our best, but it needs to be about Jesus. And when we preach, thank God, we need to preach as well as we possibly can preach and do the very best we can to convey the message. But it's not about the preacher, and it's not about his sermon. But the point is Jesus here. Now hear me, Jesus wants to be in the music, and Jesus wants to be in the singing, and Jesus wants to be in the preaching, and Jesus wants to be in the praying, and Jesus wants to be in the praising, and He will be as long as He is at the very center. Amen. Hey, God help us to never lose this understanding that I have a treasure in this earthen vessel. I need to watch that. I need to be careful how I talk. I need to be careful how I walk. I need to be careful how I live. I need to be very careful about my actions and about my attitude and about my motives, because I have treasure. I can't be like Joe Blow. I can't just act like any old person, any old individual, do any old thing. I can't have the attitude, amen, that if it feels good, do it. I can't live with the attitude that I'll do it my way. Oh no, because I've got a treasure in this earthen vessel. So it's not about the earthen vessel. About the treasure. Amen. Praise God. That's what makes us of great worth. That's the value. Yeah. I heard a story one time back in the days when there's a lot of persecution in Russia against Christians. And there was a young lady that was arrested there. And they beat her severely. And when they caught her again, or came to another church service, the same girl was there. And they beat her again. And they went to another service, and guess who was there? And they caught her, and they beat her again. So finally, they put her before a firing squad. And she said, "Do you have anything to say now?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Shoot me in the head, because Jesus lives in my heart." In other words, I want to protect the treasure. I want to protect the treasure. Amen. It's important tonight, folks, that we understand the value of what we have on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. Jesus, one time, when he had come to where his disciples were, the Bible said there was a father there, and he was frantic. And he had a son we preached about recently that had demons in him, a suicidal demon. And he told Jesus, he said, "My son, when he walks by a fire, he jumps in it and tries to burn himself to death. He walks by water, he'll fall in the water and jump in the water and try to drown himself." He said, "We have to watch him everywhere he goes. There's never a spare moment. We've got to be always on guard because he's continually trying to kill himself." And the father said, "And if you can just help me, if you just could help me, I know you would." And then he said this, he said, "I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do anything." Ah, what an indictment. Folks, we shouldn't have that testimony. We need the testimony in Athens, Texas, that if you need something from God, you get over that United Pentecostal Church. Those folks over there know how to pray. If you need deliverance, You get over there. Those folks will pray and you'll get delivered. If you got a spirit, you get, and you want to get rid of it, you get over to that church. Those folks gather around. They know this prayer business. They get to praying, and that devil, he'll get so hot, he'll leave. But the tragic testimony was, they could do nothing. You know the story. Jesus cast out the spirit. And later, his disciples said, Lord, why couldn't we cast it out? Jesus said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer with fasting. Amen. You see, if you want to stay connected to the source, sometimes you've got to do a little more. We don't own the source. We don't dictate to the source. We don't take the source for granted. We seek it. And we have to continually, well, wherever He is, that's where we need to be. Amen. Praise God. We got to be careful, folks. Sometimes we speak too much truth. And I know this, and I don't mean to be unkind by saying this, but I just want to illustrate, okay, just a moment. Sometimes we can say, well, I've been in the way for 40 years. Maybe that's a problem. We've been in the way. Amen. The thing is, here's the thing, folks. We talk about, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. We say that, don't we? And we get that out of the Bible, don't we? The Spirit of the Lord moved. And the Spirit of God does move. And we have to move with it. But sometimes we don't want to move. Sometimes we're comfortable. And we say, well, this is the way it's always been. Well, it may not be that way now. How long has it been since you moved? Huh? Are you still in the way, or have you moved? Sometimes we've got to be sensitive. And when God moves, we move with Him because He's the source. But sometimes we can cling more to our traditions than we do to the source. Now, traditions are not all bad, but they are bad when they keep us from moving with what God is doing and what God wants to do. If we're not careful, we think we've got God figured out. We know what kind of song to sing, and we know just exactly what to do to get God to move, or at least we think we do. Amen. Oh, no, we don't. Amen. We move with Him. Amen. Praise God. We've got to move with Him. Amen. So it's very, very important that we understand that He's the source. And if prayer's not enough, then let's put some fasting with it. Amen. And let me just say this tonight. If you want to walk with God, you cannot have a strong walk with God without separation from the world. Now, you can have popularity with the world, but you can't have power with God without separation from the world. That's where the power is. Amen. I've had opportunity to be in some meetings where there were people that used to have this, and they still have a semblance of this, but they don't have the power of this. They don't have the depth of this. And the reason they don't is because they don't have the consecration and the separation that is called for if you want to have a great walk with God. God can only lead us as far as we are willing to go. But if we reach a place, you know, I was reading this week about, or last one week, about, you know, the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. You know, when they almost got to the promised land. Almost. And then they said, man, this is good enough right here. And that's where they stopped. I thought they almost made it. But then they got satisfied without ever seeing what was on the other side. They made a decision. Now, Moses said, wait a minute. He said, you're not staying here, and your brother's going to go over there and fight so you can have this. You want this, you can have this. If you want to live short, you can live short. But you're going to go help us drive out the enemy first. Then you can come back over here. I've often wondered maybe if they hadn't wished they hadn't been so hasty. Once they got on the other side. Amen. But there are people that get almost there. And they say, this is good enough. They'll start feeling a little tingle. And they start getting excited. Amen. They say, this is far enough. Was it Tony Campolo, I think it was, that wrote the book, what is it? How to Be Pentecostal Without Talking in Tongues. In other words, he's saying, get right up to the river, but don't go over. Act like one, but don't become one. Well, if you're going to get that close, why not just go on over? What? Hallelujah! Amen. I heard a guy one time giving a testimony about a guy that had got the Holy Ghost, and he was telling him, this fellow, he was not with the Pentecostals, but although he was Spirit-filled. And so he was giving his testimony, and he was talking about how he got the Holy Ghost at a Pentecostal camp meeting. And the folks that heard him said, it must be something to get it among them. He didn't get it at the prayer breakfast. Repeat after me. See my tie, come tie my tie. He got the goods. I was at a meeting one time, went with a friend, and there was a guy there that, man, he's one of the icons in that movement. And he was giving his testimony how that back then, 50 years ago, so probably by now it's been 70 years, he's probably dead. But anyway, he was giving his testimony, and he said, I got the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit at a Pentecostal camp meeting. And he told the story. And then he stayed in his cold, dead church. And he hid that gift for 20 or 30 years. And then when people started talking in tongues, he stepped out and said, oh, I've been doing this for years. And I thought, what a travesty that he hid that gift all those years. And when it became popular... See, he didn't want to lose his position by admitting he talked in tongues. So he hid that. And then when it became popular, he moved to the head of the class. And I'll never forget what he said. Whenever he finished his little talk, he said, I sought the Holy Ghost for 3 weeks at that Pentecostal camp meeting. He said, but I'm going to save you all that trouble. Nobody's going to save you any trouble. When you're prepared and you're ready and you have faith, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. But it may take you 3 weeks to get ready. You know what? We still need to preach repentance, don't we? Not just talking in tongues. Talking in tongues is a great thing, but you've got to repent first. Amen. It's not going to happen without repentance. Not the real deal. He said, everybody bow their head, and he said, you just start speaking out right now, just whatever comes out of your mouth. Don't say in English, just start babbling, saying whatever. And they did. I know the Holy Ghost, and what I felt was not the Holy Ghost. I felt the Spirit grieved in me because those poor people were being deceived. Amen. By somebody that at one time got the real deal. and then tried to hide it. And he didn't let it move him. We got to follow after, folks. Amen. Wherever it goes, that's what we've got to do. We must follow. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to close. There was a doctor by the name of James Simpson, Edinburgh, England, 1847. He was the doctor that first discovered that chloroform could be used to cover pain for surgery. And surgeries that would have been impossible to do because of intense pain now became common because chloroform would knock the folks out and they could do surgery and they didn't feel the pain until it was over. You still feel the pain, believe me. That right, Sister Covey? It doesn't go away. You can cover it for a little while. But when somebody cuts on you, I don't care if he's a doctor, it's going to hurt when it's all said and done. And it's going to take time to heal, whether it's a doctor or a butcher. You get cut, it's going to hurt. But chloroform allowed patients to be able to go through times of immense suffering they wouldn't have been able to do without the miracle of chloroform. And so it was a great, great discovery. As a matter of fact, some have said it perhaps is one of the greatest and most significant discoveries in modern medicine. Isn't that amazing? And since 1847. And they still use it today. And so Dr. Simpson was speaking at Edinburgh University. And a student raised his hand and asked him the question. He said, Dr. Simpson, he said, what do you consider the most valuable discovery of your lifetime? Dr. Simpson said, my most valuable discovery was when I discovered myself a sinner and that Jesus Christ was my Savior. Boy, he shocked everybody. They just knew chloroform was on his lips. He said, oh, that doesn't compare to the discovery when I discovered I was a sinner and Jesus Christ is my Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. When he said, well, literally what he said, he says, I found the source. And I just become a faucet. Let's stand together today. Hey, the magic is not in the faucet. Amen. We are vessels. And thank God we are willing vessels. Amen. God is looking for vessels. But the magic is not in the faucet. It's in the source that's in us. Amen. And the Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. We're connected tonight to the ultimate. Praise God. This is as good as it gets. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Praise God. When I get a little distant and I grow a little cold and I start thinking discouraging thoughts, the only way that can happen to me is if I distance myself from the source. But if I do what us Pentecostals call praying through. Anybody know what praying through is? When we say pray through, that's exactly what we mean. Whatever's in your way, you pray through it. You don't stop until you get through it. And when you get through whatever is hindering you, whatever obstacle is in your way, and you step back into the very throne room of the Almighty, and you feel the unobstructed flow and power of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing in this world like that. Amen. Nothing. Amen. Praise God. Hey, let's come to the source tonight, shall we? With lifted hands. Amen. With sincere faces and faith. Amen. Let's come to the source. Jesus, I need you. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. There's not anything that I can do. I try and I fail because I must have Jesus. I must have Jesus. Oh, you're the one essential, Jesus. Other things come and go, but you're the constant that always remains. I gotta have Jesus. I gotta have Jesus. Lord, I'll get a bad attitude without you. I'll start thinking in carnality without you. I'll start acting carnal without you. I'll get discouraged and doubtful and depressed without you. Amen. I'll lose my sweetness. I'll lose my joy. I'll lose my peace without you. Help me to stay connected to the source. Oh, yes. Help me to stay connected to the source. Got a call last week from my daughter in Lubbock. She was real little disappointed. She said, Dad, she said, I just left, I turned the water off and didn't let it drip. Said, I just left it off for an hour or two, not very long. And she said, now I don't have any water. Well, that was the end of the story. A couple of days later, finally, it warmed up. I said, do you have any water now? She said, oh yeah. It's all over the ground. There's lots of it, but it's not getting to my house. You see, what happened is she stopped the flow and it got cold and it froze. What happens to us is if we stop the flow, we get cold. And if we stay that way long enough, we'll get separated from the source. And the water will no longer flow through us. But it'll stop before it gets to the faucet. Amen. So, I want to make sure tonight that we're connected. How about you? I want to make sure that I'm connected. Anybody connected here tonight? Amen. The altar's open. Anybody connected here tonight? Anybody connected? Plugged in, charged up. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh yes, in Jesus'
name. Without you holding my hand, the mountains too high, and the valley. Down on my knees, where I learned to stand, and Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my.